And I sure have enjoyed the music this morning. What about you? Sure has been good to be in the house of the Lord. I trust you'll find your place in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we have been journeying through the Song of the Shepherd. Here David is exalting and extolling what it means to be one of the Lord's sheep. Somebody described it a psalm of life. If you know anything about life, it's not stationary. It's always moving. Sometimes life moves faster and quicker than I can keep up with it. What about you? And so as you work your way through this psalm, it's looking at life as one of the Lord's sheep. And what it means to be one of His sheep. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to navigate life alone. I don't have to do that. I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just a shepherd, not just the shepherd, but praise be to His name, He is my shepherd today. And He can be your shepherd. That's the good news, that nobody has to be shepherdless. I don't think there's a sadder picture in all of the Bible than a sheep having no shepherd. That's how Jesus describes, that's how He described me before I became a Christian. That's how He described you before you became a Christian, if you're a Christian. And friend, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, the Bible describes us as sheep having no shepherd. But the good news is friend, He wants you to be His sheep. Amen. And He wants to guide you through life. Let's read together Psalm 23, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen for you. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know what? The journey of life the shepherd takes us on will lead us through green pastures of peace and contentment. He'll refresh us with the still waters of His presence. Other times we're rejoicing in verse 5 on the mountaintop of His blessing. Hey, we got enemies all around us, but the Lord's given us a banqueting table and He's anointed us with His oil. Our cup is running over with His goodness. And it ends in verse 6, "One day as we'll dwell forever in the house of the Lord." I tell you what, I can't think of anything better than being one of the Lord's sheep. What about you? But if I've noticed something in verse 4, between here and there, there's some valleys. As we follow our shepherd, every sheep knows that there's going to be valleys along the way. You find it in verse number 7. Verse number 4, 7 words. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. It represents one of the most enduring images in human literature. F.B. Meyer, in his book on the Shepherd Psalm, said, "In all of Scripture, there's no verse more familiar than this. It's been on the lips of many a dying saint as they breathed their last breath and went to the Father's house. It's been the handkerchief that dried the tear-filled eyes of hurting Christians down through the ages. It's been read at the graveside more than any other verse of Scripture that's ever been read." But can I tell us today, it's more than a poetic theme and poetic thought. It's a real place. As a matter of fact, there may have been a specific gorge on David's mind as the Holy Spirit inspired these wonderful words. Most scholars believe that place is the famed Wadi Kelt. It is a 17-mile gorge that will, or ravine that will move from or connect from the high mountain lands of the Judean wilderness down into the Jordan Valley near the city of Jericho. If you knew anything about Jericho in David's day and even today, it's a desert oasis. As a matter of fact, the area around it is well watered with lush green pastures. And even today, shepherds can be seen coming down through the mountain passes, leading their flocks to feed on those rich grasses in that area. For thousands of years, shepherds had led their sheep following this trek from Jerusalem to Jericho, facing dangers from falling rocks, steep precipices, wild animals, thieves, robbers hiding in the caves. The shepherds coined it, or they termed it, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. No doubt many a time David had led his sheep through this deep dark passageway known as the Wadi Kelt to the pasture lands of the Jordan Valley below. But can I remind us today that this valley, as the Holy Spirit has placed it in this psalm, reminds us of the valleys that you and I traverse in life. Our valleys may not be literal valleys like the Wadi Kelt, but they're no less real, no less daunting, no less fearful. Valleys at times can become so long, so deep that we wonder if they will never end. And can I just tell you, the psalmist writes, "Yea, though I walk." You know, it wasn't a matter of if he entered the valley, it was a matter of when he descended into that valley. Valley times are going to come. And maybe you're in a deep valley right now. Maybe you've just come out of a deep valley. Maybe you're here today and you feel like life is closing in on you and your valley is so deep, so dark, so daunting, it seems it'll never end. Well, you know what? No matter how deep your valley, Psalm 23 tells you, for your dear friend, if you're a child of God, you have an all-sufficient shepherd. Amen? An all-sufficient shepherd. I want to talk to you today about how deep is your valley. Because while I may be enriched on the mountaintops, I enjoy the mountaintops, I'm enriched in the valley. And there's some treasures in this valley. I shared two of them with you last Sunday. I'm going to just briefly mention them this morning. And then we're going to learn two more treasures that we're going to find no matter how deep your valley. Friend, I'm glad that God has treasures in the valley, aren't you? Let's pray. Ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're my shepherd. I came to know You 35 years ago. And Lord, I'm so glad that You've led me through life. As one of Your sheep, I hadn't always been what I should be. But as my shepherd, You've been perfect and wonderful and gracious and good and kind and faithful. And Lord, today teach us about our valleys. Help us learn something of Your shepherding in our lives during the valley times that we enter and we experience. Nobody likes to go through them, Lord. But life's going to bring them, and I'm so glad I'm not in the valley alone, that You're with me. You're with us. Lord, thank You for being so faithful. Father, I pray You'll help us as we go into this psalm this morning and learn great truths that'll help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, preacher, what treasure do you find in that valley? You just don't realize how deep my valley is. Well, I got good news for you. There's some treasures there. We learned last week that you'll find purpose in that valley. Look again at verse number 4 in the little word, yea. I believe every word of God is pure and important. And then this little word, yea, means yes. It's a connector. It's linking verse 3 with verse 4. And the same one that leads me in the paths of righteousness and by the still waters. He's the same one that leads me when I enter the dark valleys of life. Aren't you glad the shepherd is still leading us? Aren't you glad He's still in control? Aren't you glad that I don't have to navigate the valley by ourselves? Hey, thank God I know one who knows the way through the wilderness. What about you? And friend, when you enter the valley times of life, you need to remember that we've come to this place because of the shepherd's leading. There's no accidents in the life of the child of God. There's only plans and purpose as an appointment with God. And friend, we never enter a valley with no purpose. We never enter a valley for just the sake of going into a valley. No, there is purpose there. God is at work in my life. God is enriching me and helping me. And friend, one of Job, one of the Lord's old sheep by the name of Job, he put it this way: He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And I've got good news for you, dear child of God. Listen, when you enter the valley, He knows the way that you take. Friend, you're not alone in that valley. Isn't that wonderful today? And God is at work in your life, and He's doing things in your life that only He can do. In that moment, that time, it's necessary to bring about His desired purposes in our lives. Friend, listen, no accident. Only appointments. And then we found that there's hope in that valley. Aren't you glad there's hope? Friend, listen. Christian, I want you to listen. I want you to get this. As a child of God, life is never hopeless. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a world that has no hope. But dear child of God, listen to me this morning. I do not have to live hopeless. I can live hopeful and hope-filled because I have a God of hope today. Amen? I'm so glad. I want you to look in verse number 4 again. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Now, you know what? Too often, we want to think about being in the valley. I am in the valley. But the reality of it is, our shepherd, he places an emphasis on through the valley. Do you realize a valley, by its very nature, is not a dead end? No, it's a passageway. If it has an entrance and it has an exit. And the good news is, if I enter a valley, friend, I'm going to come through on the other side. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful truth? And it's a passageway. And he said, you're going to go through that. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Aren't you glad that trouble and adversity and hardship doesn't come to stay? It comes to pass. And it's going to pass. And we don't remain in the valley. We don't camp in the valley. We don't tent in the valley. No, we don't stay in that valley. It doesn't last forever. Valleys are temporary. We pass through them. Now, when you come to verse number 4, you're at the halfway point of the psalm. And you're going to find that it is actually a passageway to the tablelands of verse number 5 of a brighter day ahead. And dear child of God, listen, your future is as bright as the promises of God. I don't care how dark it may seem. I don't care how daunting life may get. Thank God, my future is as bright as the promises of God. Isn't that wonderful? Friend, listen, you need to grab hold of the promises of God today and anchor your soul to the God who can. Amen? And the God who will. And the God who leads. And remember that valleys are only temporary. But you say, wait, preacher, you don't understand. My condition's terminal. The doctor says that whatever I have is going to end my life. Friend, listen to me, dear child of God. May I remind you that the valley of the shadow of death is merely temporary. It is a passageway to a brighter day ahead. Friend, listen, death can't take my life. No, I've been given life. He is the resurrection and the life. And friend, I just pass from one life into the next as the children of God. That's what we do. And death is but a shadow. Now, you know what? The Bible, California has a death valley. Okay? It's got a death valley. How many have heard of Death Valley, California? Sure. Psalm 23 doesn't have a death valley. It doesn't. No. It's the valley of the shadow of death. Now, in order to have a shadow, you have to have light. You do. There has to be light. You can't have a shadow without light. You see, a shadow is an image of something that is cast by light. And friend, I'm just here to tell you, you may enter that valley and it may be deep and it may be dark and it may be daunting, but there's light in that valley. You say, preacher, whose light is it? It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. And friend, He lightens our path and He shows us the way through. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? It reminds me I'm not alone. And a shadow may frighten you. It may. You ever heard somebody, I mentioned this last week, they're afraid of their shadow. You ever heard somebody, I got a dog like that. My dog, listen, it's got this deep, ferocious bark. I mean, you do. It begins to bark. You say, what kind of dog you have, preacher? I have a vicious poodle. Vicious poodle. Scary. Okay? All right, so anyway, we're just going to stop right there. And he's got one of these deep-throated barks. I mean, he just sounds like he's going to rip your leg off. But I'm just going to tell you something. He's scared of his shadow. I shouldn't have said that because if I got a thief in here and you're going to come rob my house, I want him to scare you, okay? Now you know I'm kidding. He's scared of his shadow. You know what? The good news is a shadow may frighten you, but it can't harm you. And I got good news for you, friend. Just like the shadow of a sword can't cut you, and the shadow of a dog can't bite you, and the shadow of a bee can't sting you, dear child of God, the shadow of death cannot harm us. Listen, we never God's children never travel through the valley of death. Friend, for us, it's just but a shadow. It's temporary. Friend, listen, we come through on the other side. Amen? And here, listen, this is even better. I have hope in that valley because it's temporary. It's going to pass. I'm going to pass through it. Listen, it's but a shadow. It cannot harm me. And my shepherd has passed this way before. You're never going to go anywhere. Listen to me, dear Christian. You'll never go anywhere that Jesus has not been when He's leading. Now, I may stray from the path, but friend, listen, if I'm following Him, I'm not going to go anywhere He's not been. And I just got good news for you. He's already traveled this path. 2,000 years ago, Jesus faced the valley of death. It was there on the cross of Calvary. He took my sin and your sin, the cause of death, which is sin. We're sinners. We're guilty before God. We deserve death. But thank God, there's one who came and loved me and took my place and died in my stead. He suffered God's wrath in my place so that I could spend eternity with Him in heaven. Thank God, He wasn't a victim on the cross. He's the victor. He said, "It is finished." Paid in full. And that day on the cross, He tasted death for every man. And He destroyed the power of death. And death has no power over me. No, it doesn't. He pulled the stinger out of death. Friend, listen, He took the sting that you and I might just face the shadow. Isn't that a wonderful truth today? Thank God for a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He wants to be your Savior today. Friend, don't leave this building today without Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Let me tell you the third thing that you're going to find in that valley, the third treasure. Preacher, what's in that valley? Courage is in this valley. Look at verse number 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now watch these next words. "I will fear no evil." You know what that is? That's courage. That's courage. There's courage in that valley. Look at that word evil there. That doesn't mean moral evil such as sin or wickedness or iniquity. That word evil means distress, misery, injury, calamity. You see, in the valley of the shadow of death, the sheep faced constant danger from falling rocks, maybe falling off a precipice. Maybe there was wild animals, thieves, robbers along the pathway. They needed courage. Why, preacher? Well, I can tell you this. It wasn't to fight the thief off. And it wasn't to defend themselves against the lion and the bear. You say, why is that? Because sheep's helpless. They don't have sharp claws to fight with. They don't have horns to push and protect themselves with. No, they're completely dependent upon a shepherd. Let me just tell you, sheep don't need courage to fight with. They need courage to trust the shepherd. You see, here's where the battle comes. When we face the daunting valleys ahead, fear begins to grip our heart. And somehow, some way, we think our valley is bigger than our shepherd. That, God, I'm entering into something you can't handle. God, somehow this is going to be bigger than you are. So somehow, as my shepherd, this you're not going to be able to handle this one. No, when I enter the valley, I need the courage to trust my shepherd. David said, when I enter that valley, I will not fear. He didn't say I might not fear. He didn't say I may not fear. He said, I will not fear. Listen, do you realize that fear is the enemy of faith today? Fear will paralyze you in that valley. It will do that. It'll grip you and paralyze you. You ever heard somebody being frozen with fear? You ever heard that? Boy, they just froze with fear. It will immobilize you. Robert McQuilkin in his book said, Psalm 23 is the best known psalm in the world, but it's the least believed. We know it, but do you believe it? Do you believe your shepherd knows the way through the valley? Do you believe that you don't have to fear evil? Do you believe He can bring you through on the other side? Do you believe it? The question is not, do I know it? The question is, do I believe it? Am I willing to trust the shepherd? And friend, listen, that great North Carolina sheep, Vance Havner, said, God was here before there was any fear, and He'll be here when all fears passed away. Friend, God is greater than your fears. He's greater than my fears. He's bigger than my valleys. George Mueller said that the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. Listen to me, fear will paralyze you. Faith will mobilize you. It will. When the truth of Psalm 23 grips our hearts, we will anchor ourselves to the promises of the shepherd, and it will dispel our fears and give us the courage to go on. Friend, I can walk through this valley, and when we do not have to fear evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. What a wonderful truth. Friend, listen. Let's have the courage to trust our shepherd today. There's courage in that valley. Amen. Now let me just tell you something. Valleys aren't necessarily ugly places. They aren't. Matter of fact, I'm from the mountains of North Carolina. And I used to hike through those mountains bird hunting. And we didn't see a whole lot of birds. But we saw, you have to walk a long way to just scare up a few grouse up in the mountains. All right, they're few and far between. You're up and down hills. And there was a time that we topped out on a bench on some mountains and looked over there, and there was Mount Mitchell in the distance. And there was just a vast, pristine valley in front of me. And I'm just going to tell you, it took my breath away. I looked at that valley and I thought, wow. And I began to praise God. It was gorgeous. Did you catch that word, gorgeous? Do you know that gorge and gorgeous come from the same word? My valley may look daunting, and it may seem ugly at times, but there's a gorgeousness to that valley because God's doing something in my life, and God's at work in me, and God's making something wonderful out of me. And when I come off on the other hand, friend, I'm going to be His finished work, and it's something of beauty to God. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? It doesn't make sense to me right now. It doesn't make sense to you right now. We can't understand it all. But just remember, friend, you're looking at the underside of your life. God sees the top side of your life. Amen? God gives beauty for ashes. Listen, when you're in the valley, listen to me. When you're in the valley, ask God for the courage to trust your shepherd. There is purpose in that valley. There is hope in that valley. I want to give you the last treasure. I believe there's many more, but I'm just going to give you four. There's another treasure in this valley. You say, preacher, what is it? It's called assurance is in this valley. Look again at verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk... there's purpose. Through the valley of the shadow of death, there's hope. I will fear no evil, there's courage. For Thou art with me, there's assurance. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Friend, can I tell you, this is a precious, precious truth. Thou art with me. God is with me. Now when you come to verse number 4, did you notice a change of scenery? Verse 2, 3, I'm seeing deep, lush valleys of grass. Meadows of grass. I'm seeing still ponds of water. I mean, it's just a picture of serenity and peace and contentment, and we want to stay there. But Christian, we can't stay there. We can't stay there no more than we can stay on the mountaintop, can we? Life is going to take us into the valleys, isn't it? And so you're going to have a change of scenery when you come to verse number 4. You see the deep rocky gorge. You see the narrow path. You see the deep dark passageway that we begin to enter into, knowing that, friend, there's light on the other end. There's a light shining. I remember when I was going through my 3-year journey of sickness, and there would be times I would get so low. And knowing there was another chemo treatment ahead, and there was times I'd get so low. And I remember laying in my bed, and I'm thankful for a godly wife that was my cheerleader through every bit of this. She wouldn't let me stay down. I'd try to get down there and stay. I really would. I can be a real Eeyore sometimes. Y'all know who Eeyore is, right? Okay. I'm a good one, all right? I can even sound like him. Anyway, I was in one of those Eeyore moments, and I was down in that valley. And she said, honey, there's light at the end of this valley or this tunnel. And I said, yeah, for me, it'll probably be the train. I mean, I'm talking like that, you know what I'm saying? She said, honey, there's not a train on the other end of that valley. She said, God's going to get you through this. I didn't know the outcome of everything. You don't know the outcome of everything. But I did know this, God would get me through this one way or another because He's forever faithful. But there's a change of relationship. I want you to notice with me as we read some verses, a change in pronouns. Okay? Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Verse 3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now watch the change. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Did you notice it goes from He and me to third person to I and Thou first person? Did you just see that? At this point, the psalm's even more personal and intimate. It's at this point the shepherd wants to tell you how close he is to you. It's in the most difficult moments of the sheep's life that it's closest to its shepherd. You see, in the green pastures and the still waters and the right paths, He's before us, leading us. But friend, when you and I enter into the valley, He's not before us. He is with us. Did you catch that? He's with us. Friend, in one sense, He's in front of me. But now He's walking beside of me. You're going to make it. It's okay. Aren't you glad for His hand that leads you and guides you and stays you? Aren't you so glad for the hand and the guidance and the care of the shepherd in your life? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boy, what a wonderful truth. I want to key in on a word in verse number 4. It's called walk. Did you see that? Yea, though I walk. Walk. That means progress, doesn't it? Now, listen, if I'm going to walk, I've got to take a step, don't I? I do. But let me just tell you in verse number 4, as I enter the valley, or we enter the valley, the sheep enters the valley, and it's a dark valley, it's a deep valley, it's a long valley at times, but this isn't a faltering step. No, this is a firm step. This is not a fearful step. This is a faith-filled step. Did you see that? It is a walk, but it's a walk of safety and serenity and sureness and satisfaction and security. Friend, it is progress. It is firm. It is faith-filled. It is serene. It is safe. It is sure. Friend, listen, I thank God that whenever I enter the valley, He is with me. I do not have to fear evil. One great saint, when he was nearing the end of his life, said this. He said, Lord, I'm coming just as fast as I can. That blessed me. That blessed me. Do you realize that friend, we don't have to fear that valley. We don't have to fear it. Notice the phrase. I want you to get it. Look at verse 4. Thou art with me. Did you notice something? He talked to the shepherd. Up until this point, he's been talking about the shepherd. Verse 4 is a prayer. You see, in the green pastures and the still waters, we talk about Him. You ever notice that when we're on the mountaintops, we talk about how good God is? And we talk about Him. But you ever notice when you descend in the valleys, we talk to Him? Sometimes it's just, God, help me. God, I don't know what's going on. Lord, are You there? Lord, it's going to be okay. I know You're going to see me through. Sometimes it's not long drawn out prayers in a closet. Sometimes it's just the pressure as I'm moving through life is so great. It feels like it's squeezing the life out of me. It's just continually squeezing out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I just want to tell you, friend, when you cry out as one of the Lord's sheep, He hears you. He hears you. Our good shepherd's never closest to us than when we hurt. That's why there was some hurting sheep in John 14. Jesus had told His disciples, I'm going away, I'm leaving you, I'm going back to the Father's house. Now, that doesn't seem so bad to us because we're seeing the big picture. Do you realize for 3.5 years they've walked with the Lord? He's met every need they've had. He's taught them, trained them, met every need. He's been with them personally, intimately. John said, I saw Him, I touched Him, I heard Him. And He says, I'm going away. They begin to grieve the loss of the Son of God. And He says these words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Now, it wasn't saying that because somehow or another He was less than God. Here's what He was saying. You believe the Father, now believe Me. Trust Me. Trust Me. That's what He's saying. Sheep, the Lord didn't say, understand Me. He didn't say that. We can understand Him. He didn't say, feel Me. He didn't say that. Because when I hurt, I don't always feel Him. Sometimes when we're in the valley, it seems like God's a million miles away. And it seems like we're all down there in that deep, dark valley alone. And that somehow God's not there. But Jesus didn't say, understand the valley. He didn't say, feel me in the valley. He said, trust me in the valley. That's what He says. Christian, nothing will help you more than to learn to practice the presence of God. To by faith claim the truth of Psalm 23 that He's leading me, He's guiding me, He's my shepherd, I'm His sheep, He has this. I anchor myself to the fact that I'm in a deep, dark valley and it's long and it seems like it'll never end, but I don't have to fear any evil. I don't have to fear any calamity. I can courageously take the next firm, sure, safe, secure step because Thou art with me. I don't have to feel You, Lord. I don't have to see You. I just know You're there because You promised You'd be there. You said You were. Friend, there's where the courage comes in to trust Your shepherd. He's there. You will not walk through that valley alone. Wow. I have His promise. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was one of the leading literary thinkers and artists of his day. He died in America at the age of 89 in 2008, but he hadn't always lived in America. As a matter of fact, he was a citizen of the Soviet Union at its height, right before it began to crumble, so to speak, during its height, the rise of it. He fought in the Red Army during World War II. He was a great thinker before that. He was a great literary artist. But he didn't realize where his nation was going, and when it became a communist country, he was a Russian dissident. That means he was a man, and through his testimony, who knew God. And he was against a godless communist philosophy and so on. By the way, if our nation right now that's gripped by this beautiful picture of socialism and communism would ever go back and read some of the testimonies of the people that lived in the gulags of that day, it'll change the way you think about our government and our nation and what it is to live in a free country, even though it's not as free as it used to be. Let me just remind you of where socialism and communism will take you. But to understand within it here is a kernel of spiritual truth. This man by the name of Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Russian dissident. He was a very, very wise, gifted, articulate man. And they feared him. The Russian government feared him and his ideas about God and freedom and righteousness. And so they put him in a gulag, a concentration camp, much like the concentration work camps in Nazi Germany. He was in that prison camp. He was there shut away from all communication from the outside world. No newspapers, no radio, no television, no books, no pencils, no paper, no conversation. The prisoners were not allowed to speak to one another. They just worked and were beaten and tortured day after day after day with hard, physical, manual labor. And every day was an existence of misery. Alexander Solzhenitsyn shared this. It's his personal testimony. Here's what he said. He said, I came to the place where I decided I would take my own life. And then he said, I thought of my faith in God and I thought of the teaching of the Bible and I knew I couldn't do that. But he said life was so intolerable, I didn't know what to do and I didn't know what I was going to do. And he said, then a thought came to my mind, I know what I'll do. I'll escape, knowing it was impossible. He said, I'll break and run and then the guards will shoot me in the back and I won't have to take my life. They'll take it. It'll end my misery. But he knew his mind was twisted. It even skewed his thinking and he wasn't thinking right. He came out on a particular day and he made up his mind, today's the day. The guards had been extremely brutal that day. The work just extremely harsh. And the prisoners were actually sitting underneath a tree, shade tree, given a few moments of respite and rest. But they weren't allowed to murmur a word. If they even spoke or murmured to one another, they would be taken and beaten. He thought, this is it. He had already made up his mind. He said at that moment, he said he put his hand on the ground. He was ready to push up. He was ready to spring. He was ready to run. And at that moment, he said, a fellow prisoner came and stood right in his path and looked into his eyes. And here's the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Here's what he said, Solzhenitsyn. He said he couldn't speak a word, but love and peace were in his eyes. He said his eyes met mine and we stood there and he looked into my eyes with compassion and peace, knowing he couldn't say a word, but yet it all flowed from his face. He said, then he took a stick as though he were just making a mark in the ground. It would mean nothing to the guards. But with that stick, he drew a cross. Solzhenitsyn said, I looked down and he said, God spoke to me. He said, God spoke to my heart and he said, Solzhenitsyn, I'm with you in this valley. He said, little did I know, 3 days later I would be in Geneva, Switzerland, a free man, able to tell the world about what I'd went through in a Russian concentration camp and the blessedness of freedom. And he said, it was because God was with me in my valley. And dear child of God, I just want to tell you something today. Hey, nobody knows your valley but you, humanly speaking. But I'm here to tell you, you have a shepherd that knows your valley. And the valley times of life are going to come. It's not if, it's when. But no matter how deep your valley, there is purpose in that valley. And there is hope in that valley. And there is courage in that valley. And thank God there's assurance in that valley that He is with me. And right now He's saying to you, I am with you in your valley. You can make it. Keep going. Put that foot in front of the other. There is a way through. You will come out on the other side. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. Wow. Trust Him in the valley. I don't care how deep it is. I don't care how daunting. I don't care how dark. He's in your valley. Isn't that a wonderful truth today? Maybe you just need a voice to the Lord in your heart. Lord, thank you for being in my valley with me. Thank you for your purposes in my life, that it's not an accident. God, I don't understand what it is and why I'm going through this. I don't understand why this is in my life, but God, you've given me hope. Lord, help me to have the courage to trust you in my valley. And Lord, I'm just assured in my heart because of your promises that you're with me and for me. And if you're for me, nothing can be against me. Isn't that a wonderful truth today? Let me ask you a question. Do you know the shepherd this morning? Is he your shepherd? Is he? There are people that say he's their shepherd, but is he truly your shepherd? Do you know him as your shepherd? You can this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And please, for just a moment, let's just tune in to the Lord at this time. Could we do that? Let's focus on Him.